Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 57, Isaiah chapter 57 verses 15 through 21. And we have been speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, and last week we began to speak about peace, and we are going to conclude the study on peace this morning. And I want to read from Isaiah chapter 57. And you'll see that not only does the New Testament teach the same things, but they are also repeated and they are also given to us in the Old Testament. So Isaiah chapter 57, verses 15 through the end of the chapter. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And so verse 19 again, I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. But the wicked has no peace. We maybe need to just recap where we came from last week. And let me give it to you very quickly for those who have forgotten and those who were not with us. Peace is one of the very fundamental things about the New Testament and about the Old Testament. Peace is the greeting that the Jews use when they greet one another. They say shalom, which means peace. In the New Testament, we find that Paul begins many of his letters and he says, grace and peace to you. And he ends his letters also by greeting them and saying, peace. This is the nature of God. God is the God of peace. And God wants peace for us on three main areas. He wants peace for us between himself and us. Peace between God and man. And in fact, this passage that we read from Isaiah 57, part of that is quoted again in the book of Ephesians when it speaks about the fact that he has brought peace between Jew and Gentile, that he has brought peace between man and God. But God also wants to for us to have peace within ourselves, to come to peace within our own hearts and within our own minds. And that's in fact the one area where there is often not peace, in spite of the fact that there may be peace or not peace around us and in the area around us. But then the peace that God gives us is different to the world's peace. The world's peace is an absence of turmoil. The world's peace is an absence of difficulty and problems. And the world can only have peace when everything is tranquil and everything is calm. And yet in God's understanding, God's peace is not the world's peace. And God's peace, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. We can have peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of problems. And so the book of John chapter 16, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so you will have tribulation in the world, but in me, Jesus says, you will have peace. And then in Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And so people do not understand. How can we have peace when everything is going wrong around us? Because it is not the world's peace. It is God's peace. And then we looked at the instructions concerning peace. And peace is not a nice optional extra which we can add to our lives in addition to all the other things that we have. Peace is one of those things we ought to have. And Matthew chapter 5 verse 9 in the Beatitude, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15, he says that without peace, and holiness. Without the pursuing of peace and holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so if we're not pursuing peace in our own hearts and in our relationships, we will not see the Lord. He writes to Timothy and he says, flee youthful lust, but pursue peace. And so peace is something we need to hunt down, something we need to pursue, something we should follow after with all of our hearts. And then Romans chapter 14, verse 9, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which we may, by which we may edify one another. And so this morning I want to speak about how do we get peace. It's all fine to say, well, we need to have peace. We all want to have peace. But how do I find that peace? How do I get peace in my own heart? And I'm going to take you to about five different scriptures in the New Testament. The first one is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. And this happens to be the passage that we're dealing with in the evening Bible study. And I think that we'll probably be dealing with this one this evening. But let me give it to you again. And those who are with us in the evening studies on the book of Romans will understand this a little bit easier. But I trust that we'll be able to get this message. Because this is really a very, very important understanding of where do we get peace. Romans chapter 8 verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, to be fleshly or earthly minded is death. It will lead to death. But to be spiritually minded is peace, life and peace. Now, what does that mean? Well, what does it mean to be carnally minded? To be carnally minded means to set my mind on earthly things, on fleshly things, on things that satisfy and gratify my personal, fleshly, carnal desires. They may be very legitimate things, like food and drink and sleep and recreation and all of these things. They are quite legitimate things, but when those are the things that I am pursuing, when my mind is set on earthly and worldly things, that will lead to death. But when I am spiritually minded, when I am listening to what the Spirit of God is telling me, that's really what it means to be spiritually minded. When my mind is set on spiritual things, and in the context of Romans chapter 8, when I'm following after the Spirit, when God is telling me, do this, I do it. When God says, don't do that, I don't do that. When I'm able, and I know we've said that in the evenings, that we're never able to do that 100%. None of us are able to achieve that 100%. But to the degree that we're able to listen to the Spirit, and we're able to follow the Spirit, that brings peace. That brings peace into our hearts. Because, you see, what happens is when I'm following the flesh, when I'm following my own agenda, when I'm following what my carnal desires tell me and dictate to me to do, that brings me into conflict with God. Because God is asking me to go in one direction, and yet my own desires are taking me in a different direction. And that brings conflict. That brings disturbance within my own peace of mind. And I think that many of those who have been serving the Lord for a while will know that whenever we're disobedient to God, immediately we lose our peace. Immediately there's turmoil and there's upset in our hearts and our minds, and things just don't feel good anymore. In fact, a brother was telling me this morning about a decision that he took, and suddenly everything went black around him. Lost everything, all the peace is just suddenly gone. Why? Because I'm actually fighting with God. I'm actually at loggerheads with God. I'm opposing the voice and the Spirit of God in my heart and in my mind. And I'm just doing my own thing. And I lose the peace. But when I'm doing what God tells me to do, when I'm following the Spirit, and this is not hyper-spiritual. This is not something which we say, well, you know, only people who are of a certain spiritual stature are able to achieve this. Now, all of us know what God wants us to do. All of us hear His voice. All of us read the Scriptures. All of us hear Him, the Word of God preached. And when we do what God tells us to do, that brings peace into our hearts. And when we don't do what God wants us to do, suddenly there's turmoil. Suddenly things are upset in our hearts and in our minds. And so how do I get peace? Well, one of the first places that I can find peace is by just being obedient to God. That brings peace into our hearts. You know, so many Christians read books about how to find peace. Try and create an environment of peace and meditate and do all these things to try and bring about some kind of peace in their hearts, when in fact they will not have peace and will not find peace because they're at enmity with God. Because they're fighting the Spirit of God, which is dealing with them and trying to get them to go a particular direction, and they're just going their own way. And you can apply that at any level you like of your spiritual life. Sin, and you lose the peace. Why? Because you're following the flesh. Want the wrong things, and you lose the peace. Because you're lusting and desiring to have the things of the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit. I don't understand why we, not you, but why we. Because I have the same problem. So often find ourselves without peace because we do the wrong things, because we're following the things of the flesh, because we're following the things of our own desires, instead of just saying, Lord, let me just want what you want. Let me just be at peace with you. But somehow, and you remember we spoke about meekness, and we spoke about Jonah, who thought that he could force his will on God. And remember that even though the message was on meekness, one of the things that Jonah never had in his life was peace. He never had peace on the outside, and he never had peace on the inside, because he just couldn't go God's way. And yet you remember the other man we spoke about, Job? Didn't matter how much happened around him. He lost everything. Everything went wrong around him. And yet he was at peace all the time. Why? Because even though he was in the Old Testament, he was following the Spirit. He was following God. Jonah, on the other hand, he was following what he wanted to do. He wanted to go down to Tarshish. He wanted to condemn the city of Nineveh. He wanted the tree to grow up. He wanted this, he wanted that. It was all about him and not about God. There was no peace. And so as we follow the Spirit, as we follow God, as we follow the Lord's direction in our lives, we will have peace because He gives peace. That's the second point. The Lord gives peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16. May the Lord of peace, the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. That's Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. May the Lord of peace give you peace in every way. So the first thing that I need to do is I need to be sure that I'm in line with God, that I'm following Him, that I'm doing what He wants me to do, that I'm avoiding the things that He wants me to avoid. Then I'll have peace. But also God gives me peace. And notice Paul says, may God give it to you. It's a gift. So there's something that I need to do, but peace is also a gift that God gives us. And how do we get those gifts from God? Do we earn them? Is a gift something you can earn, or is a gift something you just receive? No, a gift by its very nature is something that is given without earning, without deserving. And so God gives us the free gift of salvation. Not what we deserved, because what we deserved was His judgment. But He gives us His salvation. And so, may God give you peace. So how do I get these gifts from God? Well, simply by asking. Remember, you don't have because you don't ask. And sometimes we so desperately want peace, but we forget to ask God about it. We try and get it by meditating, by changing the way that we feel, by changing the way we think, by surrounding ourselves with peaceful things, peaceful music, a peaceful environment. And you could, there's so much advice today. You know, paint your room this color green, and you'll find peace. No, just ask God. Just ask God, and He can give you peace. Peace is not something that comes from the color of the paint on the wall. Peace is something that comes from God. But sometimes we don't get it from God because we don't ask. And sometimes we ask and we don't get it from God because we don't like the way He gives it to us. Because He says, well, just do things my way and you'll have peace. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want the peace, but I don't want to do God's will. Well, then you're not going to find it. And then the third thing is, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, well-known verse, you will keep him in perfect peace. Notice, perfect peace. So you can have imperfect peace, and you can have perfect peace. What's the difference? Well, you can have a little bit, or you can have it all. And many Christians just have a little bit of peace. They have peace when they're praying. They may have peace when they're in church. They may have peace at certain times, but they don't have perfect peace. They don't have perfect peace all the time. And they don't have 100% peace. There may be a little bit of ceasefire, there may be a little bit of calm, but there's not 100%. The word perfect means total 100% all of the time. And that is really God's desire for us. So he says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Whose mind is stayed on you. Whose mind is established. We speak about a stay as something that to which you attach a tent or something that's moving. And so you have a stay which holds the thing up. It establishes it. And so he says, if our mind is established on God, we will have perfect peace. Now you can see that this goes back to the first point that we made. When I'm just doing and hearing the voice of the Spirit and I'm obeying God. When my mind is established on God. You see, and this is the problem, is that so many Christians' minds are not established in God. Their minds are established in their circumstances. Their minds are established in the political environment. Their minds are established in the economics of our time. Their minds are established in their families. Their minds are established on all sorts of other things. And you're never going to have peace because none of these things are stable. All of the things that people want to build their peace on is impermanent, moves, changes, fluctuates. And so when the stock market's up, you have peace. When it comes crashing down, you don't have peace. When the relationships are going well, we have peace. But when the relationships are strained, we don't have peace. Because our peace is dependent on what happens around us. But if our minds are established on Him, He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the unchanging one. And it doesn't matter whether the heaven falls out of the sky. God still remains the same. He still remains faithful. He still remains gracious. He still remains patient. He still remains all of the things that He is. And so when I establish my mind upon Him, I can have peace. I remember last week we said that one of the greatest testimonies that we can have as Christians to the world around us is that we can have peace in times of tribulation and of storm and of trouble. And when the world look at the way that we cope with our difficulties and they can see something different, that is far more powerful than all of the preaching that we can ever do. But you know, when our world falls apart the same way as their world falls apart, when things go wrong around us, what do we have more than they have? We really have nothing. And so the reality of that relationship with the Lord Jesus, that relationship with the Father, needs to flow through to our lives. And people need to see that peace. And people can see that peace when our mind is stayed on Him. Notice, he doesn't say when my heart is stayed on Him, but when my mind is stayed on Him. It's a thing of where are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? What is it that establishes your thought patterns? Am I established? Am I thinking established on God? Or is it established on the world? Is it established and is my thinking shaped by the things around me? Are your thoughts shaped by the news? Or is it shaped by the Word of God? Is your mind changed when things go wrong around you? Is it established because of who God is? And so, where do I put my mind? What is my mind being focused on? And as I focus my mind upon God and upon His person and His character and His stability and His goodness and His grace, that will bring peace into my life. And not only will it bring a little bit of peace, but it'll bring perfect peace. So you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, who trusts in you. So the first thing I need to do is I need to establish my mind on him. And the book of Hebrews speaks, and remember we spoke about that, speaks about the fact that we have an anchor to the soul. And that anchor enters in beyond the veil. In other words, our anchor is not in this world, but our anchor is beyond the veil in heaven itself. And if you're anchored in this world, it's going to be shifting and it's going to be moving. But if my anchor is in heaven itself, it will remain in steadfast and sure. And so you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, who's anchored in you, and who also trusts in you. You see, we can have our mind on God, we can have our mind established on God, but really, where's my trust? So I can have the theory. My mind is saying, yeah, God is true, God is faithful, God is the same. But where am I going to put my trust? You know, it's like saying, well, you know, I know Bank of America gives better interest. Not that they do, but I'm going to put my money in Washington Mutual. Well, you need to put your money where your mouth is. You need to put your investment where your mind is. And if you have come to this point where you say, I know that God is my hope, that he is the one in whom I trust, and that he is the one who is the stability in my life, it needs to move beyond just an intellectual agreement, something which I know with my mind, and it needs to move to a point where I'm actually willing to put my trust in him. You see, many people know certain things, but they don't do what they know. Many people know that they need to change their eating habits because they know if they continue eating the way they do, it's going to affect their health. They know it, but they don't actually do anything about it. We have these big rains right now. Many people know who live on the hillside, they know there could be damage. And yet many are not doing anything about it. They're not doing the sandbags, and so on. And we can know about God. We can know that he is reliable. We can have our mind stayed on him. But where am I going to put my trust? When things start falling apart, who do I run to? When the wheels come off, when everything starts going wrong around me, who do I run to for comfort? Who do I run to for security? Is it to him or is it to something around me? But you know, when my mind is stayed on him and when my trust is in him and in him alone, that will bring perfect peace. Because I know it doesn't matter what happens. Remember the story from last week? I know how to sleep on a stormy night. Doesn't matter how much rain there is, doesn't matter how much wind there is, doesn't matter what's happening around me. I know in whom I've put my trust. And I know that he will not fail me. And I know that he is sure and that he is steadfast. And folk, the other side of the flip side of the coin is this, that when you see Christians who don't have peace, it's a clear sign that their trust is not in the Lord. Their trust is in themselves or in something else, but not in the Lord. And so you will keep him in perfect peace. And that's a promise whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, again, that's something I need to be doing. So I need to ask God for peace. He will give me peace, but he's not going to give me peace as a package. He's going to give me peace when I do what he tells me to do. And one of the things he tells me to do is to allow the peace of God to rule in my heart. He uses the word rule, meaning have control. Be dominant. Now, what is it that dominates our hearts in times of stress and pressure and turmoil and distress? Non-peace, or whatever you want to call the opposite of peace. Is that what's ruling our hearts? Is that what's controlling our hearts? Is that what's controlling our thinking? Is that the thing that dominates us and brings us into a place where we just don't have peace? In fact, he says, when he says let, allow, it means that I have a choice. What is going to rule my heart? What is going to control the way I feel? And many times we say, well, you know, I can't control the way I feel. I don't feel I have peace. Or I feel I have peace. Or I feel this or I feel that. And I'm really a football that's kicked between my feelings. My emotions control me. No. What he's saying is, let peace rule. You decide. I'm not going to allow anything to rob me of the peace of God. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to have my mind stayed on him. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to follow the Spirit and not follow the flesh. I'm going to ask him for peace. But I'm also going to allow peace to rule in my heart. Now, here's a strange thing about human beings. Some of us just don't want peace. I don't know why, but there are some people who just are not happy unless there's strife and turmoil inside and outside. I don't know why. Can't explain it. Maybe though the psychologists amongst us have an explanation. But there's something about some people that's just the way they are. Now I need to make a choice and say, I want the peace of God. And I want the peace of God to rule in my life. I want the peace of God to control my thinking, to control my emotions. I'm not going to allow my emotions to control me. But I'm going to allow the peace of God to rule in my heart. That's going to be the thing that controls and dominates everything that I say, everything I do, and the way I think, and the way I act. Now remember, I have to give you the small print. We will not always be able to achieve peace in our relationships. There are many times, remember Jesus in fact said, I've not come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword. And so the message of the Bible will often bring us in conflict with others who do not believe the Word of God. Whether they are Christians or whether they are unbelievers, that doesn't matter. But the issue is in my own mind, my own heart. And folk, we can have peace within ourselves. We may not have peace around us, but we can have peace within ourselves. Remember, we spoke last week about the fact that we should pursue peace with all people. But we will never achieve that 100%. Because it's dependent on that, on the other party or the other people to reciprocate, to respond, and to build that bridge from two sides. So we're never going to have a situation where we don't, where there's not some kind of conflict around us. But the one area that we have absolute control over, in the sense, is in our own hearts, in our own minds. And when we don't have peace around us, because of what goes on in the world and what's going on in our environment, in our jobs, in our families, or whatever it is, we should and we can have peace in our own hearts and our own minds. And when we don't have peace inside, then it makes dealing with the conflict around us very, very hard. And so, folk, I want us to leave here this morning with this understanding that peace is not an optional extra. It's not one of those things that maybe you can have and maybe you shouldn't have. It's something that God wants each one of us to have. And you find, and that's why there are so many scriptures, and I've only touched on a few over these past 2 weeks, that clearly indicate and clearly teach that God wants us to have peace within. And we need to find that peace of God. You know, when you look, and we spoke about the hippies and we spoke about the Buddhists last week, and the fact that there is this big thing about trying to find peace, trying to be Zen. And yet the first time trouble comes, the Zen flies out the window. Why? Because it's not a godly concept. It's a world's kind of peace. It's a peace that you can create for yourself as long as you can create the sort of right environment. But the peace of God, which passes understanding, operates in spite of the environment. And so many times we're trying to change things on the outside. We're trying to change the color of the paint. We're trying to change our friends. We're trying to change our environment and trying to find peace, when in fact the real issue is in our own hearts. So let me begin there. Let me change that saying. Peace begins at home. Peace begins in your own heart and your own mind. And when we are not at peace within ourselves, we will not be at peace with those around us. We will not be at peace with God. And so let me begin in my own heart, in my own mind. And let me determine today and say, Lord, I want your peace. I can't change my circumstances. I can't change my marriage. I can't change my friends. I can't change my job. I can't change many things around me. But Lord, you want me to have peace. I want that peace. Let me come to him and say, Lord, please give me your peace. Let me do the things that he asks me to do. Let me follow the Spirit. Let me just obey the Spirit. And you know, so many times the Spirit will direct me around the problems. Will direct me through the problems. But when I'm doing what God wants me to do, that brings a tremendous peace and a tremendous calm. Let me fix my mind on him. Let me establish my mind on him. Let me trust in him. And let me allow the peace of God to rule in my mind, in my heart. And I will have peace. Father, we pray that this may not just be a theory again. Lord, it's so easy to speak about these things and to theorize about them and to sermonize about them. But Lord, to live them is often very difficult. But Lord, we want your peace. We want to be at peace with you. We want to be at peace with ourselves. And Lord, we so often are trying to create an environment around us of peace, when in fact the real problem and the real trouble and the real turmoil is within our own hearts and our own minds. And Lord, so many times it is because we're living in disobedience to you. So many times, Lord, because we're trying to find our own peace instead of finding your peace. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us to recognize that it has to begin from within, that peace has to come from inside. It cannot come from outside. That we cannot change our environment and think that thereby we're going to find peace in our hearts.
And so, Lord, help us to come to peace with you, first of all, by being obedient to whatever it is you're telling us to do or telling us not to do. Help us, Lord, to establish our hearts and our minds upon you, not upon our circumstances, not upon things around us, but on you. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us, Lord, to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Lord, forgive us for the many times when we allow discord and disharmony to rule in our hearts. Because, Lord, that's in fact what the devil wants. But, Lord, let's help us to just allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. And so, Lord, as we part from one another, we pray that the grace and the peace of God will be with us. Lord, that we may know and experience, not just theorize or believe, but that we may experience your peace in this day. And Lord, that peace that you create and that you send and that you give into our hearts and minds, Lord, that it may flow to others. And that as others come into contact with us, they may be aware of the fact that we are different because we have been with Jesus. Because the reality of the work of the Spirit has been made real in our hearts and our lives, and it works in a real way, in a practical way in this world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would make this real for us, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray for John, Lord, who's traveling back today. We pray that you would keep him and protect him and bring him back safely. And also for Roy, who's away, we pray that you would be with him also. Part us with your blessing now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.